makes you think about the dying and the lost and 7.4 million or billion people in all the world. Somebody's sinking today. Somebody. Breaks my heart tonight. We're going to be reading out of Revelation chapter 2 tonight. And so if you or want to read, you're sure welcome to do that. We're preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11, but we'll be reading out of Revelation chapter 2. All right, so we can read 7 apiece, it looks like. Brother, you first. First is last, and last is first.
Saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with 2 edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which call herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repent not.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
All right, let's stand tonight, if you're not standing already, to Hebrews chapter 11. Preaching a series called What Living by Faith Looks Like. And so tonight I want to preach on, within that series, a thought on the way to die. The way to die. And we see that right here in chapter 11 of Hebrews in verse 13. We'll read down to verse 16 tonight and see what God has for us. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We thank you for the songs that were sung. We thank you for all that you've gathered together tonight in the assembly of your church. So God, we pray that you'd open our hearts and our eyes. And God, we come tonight hungry and thirsty. Father, so we're asking that you'd feed us with your word. I pray, God, you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. And Father, you'd help us, dear God, where we come short. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, dear God. Father, that you'd lead and guide us in such a way, Father, that you'd be pleased and you'd be honored. And God, that we may bring glory unto your name. And so, God, we ask you, God, to take the word of God, take the songs that we sung, take the reading of your word, the prayers that have been offered already here this evening. And God, I pray, God, that you'd take them, God, and you'd use them. And Father, may you bless us of it and because of it. Thank you again for your truth and your word in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. So we see already here tonight in the very first verse, there in verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. And so the way to die would be here. Very right off the bat tonight, if you die any other way, you're going to die in a bad way. All have died in faith. That is the way you want to die. That is the way that you will die if you're a Christian. That is the way that you will die if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb tonight. So we find tonight in that, it's encouraging to me to know that these all died in faith. And so it encourages my heart. That brings me to my first point tonight. My first point is this, that faith, this faith in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says in verse 1, now faith that is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, that faith is a faith that endures to death. It endures to death. The faith that we're talking about tonight, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the faith that you receive by faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That faith tonight, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. That faith tonight is a faith that will endure to the death. That faith will not go halfway. That faith will not stop in the midst. That faith will not just play out. That faith will not run out. That faith will endure to death. It says right here in this verse 13, these all, boy, if you write in your Bible, you might want to circle all. These all died in faith. All died. Not some died in faith. Not a few died in faith. Not 99.9% of them died in faith. All died in faith. And so Jesus also, as we think about the way to die, and these all died in faith, and so we find that 100% of these people, of these saved, those people that have been born again, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, have all died in faith. But Jesus mentions of another way of dying. And so that's why I mentioned about this is the way you want to die. But there's another way of dying. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8 tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 21. Jesus mentions to the Jews of another way of dying tonight that I would suggest that you wouldn't die this way. For this is not the way of a Christian. This is not the way of one who's been saved, who's a disciple of the Lord, one who's been born again. Here in John chapter 8 and verse 21, the Bible says, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. That's alarming. That's alarming because he's saying to the Jews, he's saying, where I got to go and where I'm going, you can't come. You're going to die in your sins. And so we can just understand the scripture tonight. If you die in your sins, you can't go where he goeth. You're not. And then he goes on and says, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come. He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We find it three times here in these verses that Jesus makes a point to say to the Jews, ye shall die in your sins. And so the question is he says, you can't go, you're not go, you cannot come, and you're not going to come where I'm going. Now, where is he going? Well, stay there for a minute, but move down to like John chapter 14 with me very clearly tonight. We all know this passage, but verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go. He's told them, he says, where I go, you cannot. So he's telling, I'll go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. He's telling the Jews here, you don't know. I'm going to go, and you cannot come. Why is Jesus saying that? Because he said, because you're going to die in your sins. And you're going to die in your sins. And you're going to die in your sins. And then he says to them, the reason why you're going to die in your sins is because you don't believe that I am. And so tonight we find that Jesus tells us that there's another way to die. By dying in faith, you can die in sins. So there's only two options tonight for you to choose. Either I'll die in faith or I'll die in sin. There's no other area, there's no other place, there's no other options tonight. We find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, verses 14 and 15, God's talking to Moses. Moses asked God, what shall I tell the people your name? He said this, he said, I am that I am. Then it goes on to say, who describes I am that I am. He says, I am the God of the Father. I am God, the Father of Abraham, God of Isaac. I am God of Jacob. Amen. And so tonight we find that this God, I am that I am, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, or Jesus said, that you have to believe that I am. That I am. Are you going to die in your sins? And so we find tonight, I just went from Genesis all the way to Malachi, and you'll find that it says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And so from Genesis all the way to Malachi, I am the Lord. And so we find that I am is the Lord. We find that He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it's important tonight that we understand who I am is. In John chapter 6, verse 41, He says, I am the bread of life. We know that. The Bible says in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He says in John 10, 9, I am the door. He says in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. He says in John 10, 36, I am the Son of God. In John 11, 25, I am the resurrection. He said in John 14, 6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He says in John 15, 1, I am the true vine. In John chapter 8, in verse 58, he says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Revelation 1, 8, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. Revelation 1, 11, I am the first and the last. Revelation 22, 16, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. There is one way to die in your sins, by not believing that Jesus is I am. And so tonight, I don't want you to think that Hebrews chapter 11 is the way that everybody dies. It's not. It's not true. But everyone that is in faith, all will die that way. And so we find tonight that there is another way of dying, and I pray that you would not consider that way. Hebrews chapter 11, and there into this verse 13, we find that when it says that all died in faith, it's telling us tonight that none are lost. These all died in faith. That doesn't mean tonight that one got lost. That doesn't mean tonight that some got lost. None got lost. Listen to what Jesus said in John 18, 9. Jesus said that that the saying might be fulfilled, which He spake of them which Thou gavest Me, have I lost none. Jesus lost none. Jesus doesn't lose, amen, the people He saves. He doesn't lose tonight the members of His church, who He's the head of. He doesn't lose the bride tonight, whom He's groomed. He does not lose tonight children, whom He's the everlasting Father of. And so we find also in John 17, 12, Jesus said, those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. And so tonight, I'm just saying that you have a way of dying. You can die in your sins, or you can die in faith. If you die in faith, just know that every single one who's in faith, of faith, will die in faith. None are lost along the way. From the day you got saved to the day you die, you'll die in faith. None get lost. You don't lose your faith. You don't take your faith and reject it. You don't neglect your faith. You don't remove your faith. You know, they talk about apostasy tonight. There's nobody who has apostasy who's ever been saved. Never. And so we find tonight, don't let the world, don't let theologians or preachers or anybody else tell you tonight that there's people who believed and had faith and trusted in Jesus, and they apostatized and they turned and went. No, that's not true. That's not true at all tonight. Jesus lost none. Lost none. We find tonight as well is that not only are none are lost, but all died faithful. The Bible says there in that verse 13, these all died in faith. I'm talking about what faith looks like tonight. And if you got this faith, you'll find that you'll die faithful. The Bible says in Mark 13, 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endurance. We find, and Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what Paul said. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we read it a while ago, be thou faithful unto the death. He says in Revelation 22, 26, keepeth my works unto the end. Tonight, there's scripture upon scripture tonight that just tells us, assures us that when you get saved by grace through faith, you'll find that that faith, all will die in faith tonight. And he loses none, and all will die faithful. Amen? We like that thought tonight. It encourages my heart. So faith tonight, as we look at it, we can say that faith endures unto death. And so tonight, if you're saved, you ain't got to worry about being lost. That's one thing. You can lay your head down on your pillow, and you shut your eyes, and you can just thank God that I'm saved for all of eternity. Because Jesus is keeping me. Amen. It's by His power, the Bible tells us in Peter, by the divine power of God that we're kept by Him. And so we find tonight, number two, not only does faith endure unto death, but faith extends unto death. Not only does it endure to death, but it extends unto death. And that looking, we look at this, we find that in verse 14 or verse 13, we talked about they received the promises. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Seeing them afar off. In other words, the promises that God had promised these people, the Jewish people, they have seen that they were afar off. They haven't received them just yet. They haven't experienced them just yet. They can't say that we have touched them. They can't say that we have went through them. But they could say this, that they have seen them afar off. See, that's the faith that I'm speaking with tonight, that faith will extend unto death. In other words, right now tonight, we may not have received all the promises of God, but we see them afar off. Amen. And so it extends. The faith is just not right here. We get saved and we know we're going to heaven, or we know our sins are forgiven, and then all of a sudden our life is sort of empty, or our life is sort of just over, or our life is just kind of weak and kind of anemic. No. That's not how this works on this faith. This faith not only endures unto death, but this faith will extend throughout your life on earth unto death. And while it's extending and while you're living, you'll find that this faith will bring you to a place where that you see the promises that God has promised us. We see them afar off. Now that word there, to see afar off, it just means to understand. It means to understand the promises that we have seen. I have seen, I have noticed in the Scripture concerning promises that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, now listen to this closely because it means a whole lot to you and I, and it meant a lot to them, but it means a lot to us tonight. Listen to what it says. It says, for all the promises of God. And so all the promises that he speaks of right here says they having received the promises. And we could go through the Scripture and the Old Testament about the promises of God. And the New Testament, the promises of God. Here in this verse right here, it says, all the promises of God. In other words, every single one of them. All the promises of God, not one excluded. He says this, for all the promises of God in Him. Now, Him is Jesus. So all the promises of God is in Jesus. You'll not receive any promises of God outside of Jesus. In Jesus is all the promises of God. Then he goes on and says, yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says, now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So the promises were made to Abraham. And then it goes on and says this, he saith, not unto the seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So tonight, you and I are sitting here, we're reading our Bibles in 2021, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we see that these people all died in faith. And so we see that this faith will endure to death. And then we see that this faith also has extended unto death for these people. For while they lived on earth, they saw these promises, which is Christ, which is Jesus. Because all the promises are in Him. And so they haven't reached Calvary. They haven't come to that place where they could say that I've met Jesus in a physical way. But you and I can't say that either. As they were looking to Calvary, as they were looking to the cross, as they were looking to their Messiah, they were looking to their Deliverer, they were looking to the Savior of the world. Tonight we look back to the Savior, to the Lord, to Jesus. And all the promises that have been given in Genesis all the way to Revelation, we'll find that all those promises are in Jesus. He's the seed. Christ. Glory to God. That tonight, that we can understand that. See, this faith gives you an understanding of that. We may not all receive all the promises that are in Christ, but you can just mark it down. We can see it afar off. We can just know. We just understand that word seeth afar off means to understand. I mean, we have that understanding. We have that ability. The Spirit of God puts in our mind and our heart that we don't have to today receive every single promise of God. We can just see it afar and be joyful about it. Amen? We don't have to walk around bitter saying, boy, I hope I don't die here soon because there might be a promise of God given and I'm going to miss it. I mean, you know, listen, I'm kind of upset now. I'm getting 58, 59 years old. And, you know, I've done lived, what, three quarters of my life now. And the promises of God, there's some things that God's promised in His Word that we haven't really seen or got. And yet it's all in Christ. And so since I got Christ, I can see it afar now. And so I'm happy about that. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not saying, God, You didn't show me favor or whatever. Hey, but listen to this. Today we find ourselves with the Bible, the King James Version Bible. We find ourselves with preachers and preaching and books and CDs and DVDs and Sister Cheryl, she's trying to get me to watch this Shepherd Summit. I've watched some of it. She keeps on sending me reminders and I'm gonna be not in a meeting one time, but I'm gonna watch it. But bless her heart, she keeps on sending it. Tell her to keep on doing it, okay? And so, but we have all these options. But how about in the 1500s? They didn't even have a King James Version Bible. They didn't have all these books and all these resources and all this Google and all this stuff that we got. But I want to tell you, those same people had this same faith, and they looked to the far and saw off in Christ, and they were joyful about it. Amen? How about the 11? How about the 1100s? How about the 900s? And we can just go all the way back. We can go back from Abraham all the way to where we are today, and they see afar. They understand the promises of God. I'd say number two, not only they understand it, but they just believe them. The Bible says in verse 13, and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded of the promises. Every single promise of God which is in Christ, they will receive, they will get, they will have, and they just believed it. I mean, they had it by faith, and they said, there's not a doubt in my mind, in my heart, that whatever God promised in this book, through Christ, in Christ, I will receive it. I will get it. Man, I am persuaded of this. You can't change me. You can't knock me off. You can't get me off. That's why that you're going to die in faith, because I just believe and persuaded that every single word that God's ever spoke of and gave me in the way of a promise tonight is going to be fulfilled. I'm persuaded. Are you? That's why you're going to die in faith. We see here, thirdly, not only do they believe by the way of persuasion, but that word there, embraced, means welcome. And so we find in verse 13, they embraced them. In other words, the promises of God were just welcomed. They were just welcomed. They were just, I embrace them. I engage them. I welcome them. They just come. Lord, whatever you want me to have, I just have. Not will I believe it, and not will I only see it afar off and understand it, but Lord, I will just welcome it. And so tonight, that's what faith will do with the promises of God. And so we see also here that the Bible talks about they ascended unto the promises. In other words, they confessed in verse 13. It says, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And what's so important about that is that they have knew and understand the promises of God. They haven't received them yet, but they saw them far off. And they were persuaded of them, and they were embraced by them. But then they began to confess that we're just pilgrims and we're just strangers here. You know, we're of another land. We're just aliens in this land. And so we're just confessing that. And tonight, that's what faith will do. Faith will say, I don't have to have all the promises of God today, but I do embrace them. I do welcome them, and I do see them. And I confess, I'm just going through here. This is not my home. This is not where I'm going to stay. This is not the end. This is just a passageway. This is just a path. This is just moving on. And so tonight, faith extends unto death. Can I say thirdly tonight that faith exceeds beyond death? This faith, not only does it endure unto death, but it will find its way in taking and going through unto death while we're on earth, but it will go past death and go beyond it. Amen? I'm talking about faith tonight. Real faith will go forth and exceed this death that we're talking about tonight. I want you to notice in verse 14, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The faithful declares. The faithful declares. That's what they do. I don't know of anybody, and you don't know if you know of anybody, that doesn't declare, that just doesn't say, hey, I'm seeking a country. I'm just a stranger here, I confess that. I'm just a pilgrim. I don't really care to have anything. I don't care to be much of anything. I just care about serving Jesus. I just want to love Jesus. I want to worship Him. I want to live for Him. I want others to be saved. I want others to get right with God. I want others' lives to be changed. I want the church to grow. I want the church to be in the way tonight of ministering to others tonight, and however that we can do that. And so in saying that tonight, I can just say this, that the faithful will declare, yeah, I'm seeking a country. Are you? I mean, this nasty now. Listen, friend, we're not seeking that kind of stuff. We're seeking a country. And so we find that we go beyond death, because if we're seeking a country and we say, death ends that vision, then we don't have faith. But if we say that death don't end that vision because we are going to seek a country beyond death, then tonight faith will bring you to that place. You know, there's a crowd like the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and others like that are considered as cults, they say, but they don't have this hope. They're going to just kind of live on this earth. They're going to just kind of build what they have right here on this earth. And so tonight, I'm so glad that this faith, the Bible faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:20, is that faith tonight that I can exceed and I can go above and beyond this death, that I can seek a country. I can declare it. Declare it. That means I'm going to say it. I'm going to not only believe it, but I'm going to discuss it. I'm going to... You're going to know it. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. I declare. And so we find the faithful declare. But number two, the faithful decree. Look at verse 15. Very interesting here. He says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And all they're saying is this, is when the faithful come out and they begin to seek a country, that country they came out of, they have no regrets of. That's what it's telling us. that they have no regrets of leaving this old world. I'm talking about why you're living in it and you're leaving it. Because we're seeking a country, right? We're seeking a country that is more than what we have here. And so with doing that tonight, the Bible says that we have no regrets of leaving this world to seek a country. Not only do we have no regrets, but we have no doubts of leaving. In other words, tonight, when we get saved and born again, and we say, Jesus, we're yours, and we want you to rule and reign in our lives. We will want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Our bodies is you, that yours is bought with a price. I've been buried in Christ. I've been resurrected in Christ. And my life tonight is yours to do whatsoever you want to do in it. Right? Is that right? Is that how that works with being saved tonight? Is that you come to a place of surrender. You come to a place of just giving over and letting God come in you, and then God will work through you, and that when you do your life, it's you living the life of Christ through you. Amen? And so that's what Christianity is all about tonight. With that being said tonight, those who have this faith have no regrets of what they gave up. They have no doubt of what they left. They don't go a couple of years and say, man, you know what? I sure left a job because I couldn't be a Christian working at that job. I sure wish I wouldn't have left. I can imagine how much money I could have today. They don't think like that. They don't think that, oh, man, I tell you, I wish I would have not married this one. This one here, you know, they really just created some problem. I wish I could just go back. But the other one was just really lost, and they don't think like that. They just don't have any mindset. There's no regrets. There's no doubts. There's absolutely no worries. They left the old world. They left their old life. They left that country they were living in. They left that place that they were born in. And they left with a place where they felt comfortable, where they were a home at. And they said, listen, we're now strangers and pilgrims. We're leaving this country, and we're seeking another country. And friend, we're not going back. That's what that verse is saying. So tonight we find a decree, a faithful decree. We're not going to return. We left with no return. We left with no obligation. We're not going back. We're not going to be like a dog, right, that eats at vomit. We're not going to be like a hog that goes back to the mire. We're not going to do that. We're going to put our hand on the plow, and we're going to look forward. The Bible says, for who that looks backwards is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so tonight, those that are saved, those who have faith, those who live for the Lord, those that are born again, they have a faithful decree. Don't regret it. Don't deny it. Don't doubt it. And don't worry about it. That life is behind me. I'm seeking a new country. I'm seeking another one. Amen? So we thank the Lord for the faithful declare, what they declare, the faithful decree. But then I still notice, thirdly, the faithful desire. We see in verse 16, it says, now they desire a better country, that is heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The faithful desire. A desire, a better country, that is heavenly. Now, what makes it better? The country that you came out of, the country that was your home, the country that you considered to be your birthplace, that you consider to be your friends and your family and all that world where you really felt comfortable in and where you felt like that you can live and be successful and this, that, and the other, that country that you left there. And now you're seeking a country, but then it says we're seeking a better country. So with faith tonight, this country that we're seeking is better than what we left. Amen? You'll be amazed tonight at how many Christians or so-called Christians don't believe that. They're always thinking about going back. They're always thinking about reverting back. They're always thinking about of the times and the good times, you know, because a lot of times when you become a Christian, they say your life just gets boring. I mean, you can't do nothing. I mean, you know, you can't. You can't drink, you can't cuss, you can't tell a dirty joke, you can't watch a dirty movie, you can't listen to, you know, this worldly music, you got to wear clothes that cover you up, you can't hang around with them old friends no more. I mean, you got to go to church, you got to read the Bible, you got to pray, you got like holiness and godliness has got to be part of like what you got to do. And it's just inconvenient to be a Christian. You know, that's the mindset of some people. And they live that away. They're so burdened down. They're trying to live the Christian life without Christ. They're trying to live the spiritual life without the Spirit. And so it's just not going to work. That somewhere down the line, they're just going to crumble and fall to pieces and fall out. But the fact of the matter, those with this faith here will say, hey, this country that I'm seeking is better than that. And the reason why it's better, because it's heavenly. It's heavenly. That's why it's better. And for those people who say that you really don't go to heaven when you die, I'd like for you to explain this verse. This is a good verse for those that are doubt heaven. People say, well, you die, you just soul sleep. You go in the grave and you stay there forever. And then some say, well, your spirit just kind of goes out and it just floats around like in Mars and Jupiter and it just kind of visits all these little galaxies and the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and all these kind of things, you know. And then some people say, well, when you die, you know, not does it not slow sleep, but it kind of moves out. But then it kind of just moves the house to house. It goes where you used to live back when you was a kid. You kind of hang out there for a little while. And then if you don't like somebody or something, when you die, you kind of haunt them. You know, just kind of get back at them because of some vengeance. And you say, that's stupid right there. Yeah, but the people believe that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't even believe Casper the Friendly Ghost, much less anything else besides that. By the way, I guarantee you, Casper the Friendly Ghost will get canceled somehow. You did see some more got canceled this week, did y'all? Pepe Le Pew got cut. Pepe Le Pew got cut. There was another one got cut. I want to say Blimpy or something like that got cut. Huh? Speedy Gonzalez got cut. I'm telling you, the cancel culture, it's rising high. But I'm saying tonight that we're going to rise high. And we're going to go to this country that's a better country. And one of the reasons why is because it's in heaven. Amen? I'm talking about this faith right here will get you in heaven. It will get you from this earth to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. It will move you on. As soon as you shut your eyes for the last time, you are out of here. Your soul will go and it will be with the Lord and it will be clothed. Amen? And tonight, you'll not go naked before God. You'll be clothed. Amen? You'll have a heavenly body. And the Lord tonight, well, has seen it, and you see it, find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all about the truth of that matter. And so we find tonight that in heaven is what making it better. I mean, this is not good. I mean, tonight we find death, and we find hurt, we find pain, we find trouble, we find difficulty. You can't please nobody. Nobody's pleased. Today, and how that he did his wickedness, it's on Google too. But if you want to find Pepe Le Pew, he's off. You tell me this something ain't right about this story. If you want to find Marxist and what it means to be, or how to become socialist or communism, or you want to do all that, hey, that's okay. But they're going to take Jemima off of the syrup, and we're going to take Ben off the rice. But they're not going to take that off. I'm so glad tonight that there's a better country in heaven. You know what? I don't know this for sure, but Aunt Jemima might be there. Uncle Ben. He might be there. Pepe Le Pew won't be there. Oh, but tonight, heaven. Can you just imagine this tonight? Heaven, better country. A desire. Do you have that desire tonight? A desire. Or you just desire to make more money? You just desire to get a new car? I just desire to get a raise. I just desire to get a husband. I desire to get a wife. I desire to have children. I desire to just get a candy bar Babe Ruth. I just desire to get some fajitas from Papacitas, a chicken with pico de gallo, some sour cream, and some cheese. Oh, and that salsa with those chips. And those homemade flour tortillas. Whew, big. Yeah. I drink water because I'm on a diet. Heaven. Heaven. Pause on that for a moment, dear people. Pause just for a moment. Heaven. Heavenly. Do you desire that? If you have faith, you will. If you have faith, you will. Number two, can I say why it's better, why this country's better? It's because it's a place that's prepared. We see that there in this verse 16. It says, He prepared for them a city. A city. Prepared for them a city. My soul. I mean, we're going to go to heaven, and when we get there, there's going to be God who's prepared us a city. We're not worthy of a city. Right? People say, well, you know, you're Elvis Presley, and you've been all over the TV, or you're maybe somebody like old Michael Jordan, and you're everywhere, and you got this and all of this. Hey, but listen. Either they're going to die in their sin or they're going to die in faith. And if they die in faith, then they can say what I'm about to say. I got a city. Ain't none of them got no city. Amen? I got a city. I'm going to be walking on pavement. Pavement. I'm talking about pavement. You know what that's made out of? Gold. They may have gold in their bank account. They may have gold on their teeth. They may have gold on their fingers, but I can have gold under my feet. Pearly gates. The city. 1,500 square. This away, that away, and every which way. I mean, tonight, it's even unimaginable we can think, but tonight, why is that city, why is that country better? Because God prepared it for us. Just for us. Nobody else. Not for the lost. Not for the rich. Not for the poor. Not for Americans. Not for the politicians. Not for those today who are real smart and to those who are real dumb. Just to those that are saved. Who have this faith. Can I say here thirdly? This is probably the best of it all. Why is this a better? Well, it's because it's a place of no shame. Look at this. Now, if you have any Baptists in you tonight, I don't know what that really means. I mean, you might have some Methodists in you. You might have some Church of Christ. You might have some Pentecostal. You might have Assembly of God. You might have some Catholic. I don't know what you, but if you got any independent fundamental Baptist church in you tonight, you might shout on this one. Look at this. He says, God is not, or wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Friend, I don't know. Have you read that before in the Scripture? You don't find that anymore. It talks about us not being ashamed of God. Right? That's what it says. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But here it says that God, in this prepared city, in this heavenly place that He has prepared, He said, whoever is here, and it's all them that died in faith, He said, I am not ashamed to be called your God. I could just see God with glory. I could just see God with a smile on His face. I can see God with just joy in His heart and say, these are my people. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be called their God. These people are real and genuine and authentic. These people right here, they've endured to the end. They've been faithful unto death. They look for me. Even though the promises wasn't there, they looked afar off. They were persuaded. They embraced. And then they confessed that they're just pilgrims and strangers. And happily, they said, we'll not return. For we seek a country. We'll not go back. Why? Oh, because there's a better country. And that country's heavenly. Not only is it heavenly, but it's prepared for us a city. And it's a place where God's not ashamed to be called our God. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight. I wonder, do you have this faith? Do you have this faith tonight? This faith will get you there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I do thank you tonight for being here in the house of God. And I pray tonight as we preached on the way to die. And boy, that's the way to die, isn't it? To die in faith. Boy, that's a good way. I know some people in my lifetime that died in faith. But I've also known some people that died in sin. Just the way they died is different. And just the way people look upon them are different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement you brought to my heart tonight. It's been a battle all week. But tonight, I've been refreshed. I've been renewed. God's Word, again, has been such a blessing. Well, tonight, may God be honored. Any prayer requests tonight before we come to pray? Anybody tonight?